Good morning, Rabbi Isai. So, following on from the halacha that we started learning yesterday about Parshas Porah, we cleared whether or not Parshas Porah was a mitzvah derabbanon, or whether or not it could possibly be a deraisa, and there's a machlekas in it, and we were wondering where the makor was that it might be a deraisa, and one suggestion was that this is the Parshas Zochor of Chet Ha'Egel. That this is remembering the Chet Ha'Egel, where the Torah says, Zechor al tishkach, eis asher ektavtos Hashem Elokecha b'midbar. And in the same way that the Torah doesn't mention the Avera, because the Torah is chosal kevoidon shel Yisrael, the Torah worries for the kavod of Klal Yisrael, and therefore doesn't mention the Avera mefurish, is hu adin, we do Parshas Porah as the kium of Zechor al tishkach, eis asher ektavtos Hashem Elokecha b'midbar. But Beremes, we're not mentioning the Avera specifically, but we're doing a Beremes based on the Medrash that says, Tovoi Haporo Utkaneach Tzoyes Beno, that the mother cow comes and cleans up for the Egel, that the Kaporo, that the Poro Adumo is a Kaporo for the Cheto Egel. Now, based on that, right, there's a Shaila, there's a discussion in the Poskim as to whether or not women are mechuyev to come and hear. There was a discussion we had about whether or not women are mechuyev to hear Parsha Zochor. If women are mechuyev to hear Parsha Zochor, and because Parsha Zochor is deraisa, and Parsha Zochor says Zochor is Hashem Osor Lachah Amolek, and it says Lo Tishkach, then if Parsha Porah is for the same reason, it says Zochor Al Tishkach is Hashem Ekchavtos Hashem Lekecha Bamidbar, then there would be a svara to say maybe that the women should be mechuyev, that those who hold that the women are mechuyev in Parshas Zochor would also hold that they're mechuyev in Parshas Porah. The efsha einoi kein, maybe there's a big difference. The difference is that the women were not involved in the Chet Ha'Egel. If Zechor al tishkach eis asher ektavtos Hashem Elokecha b'midbar is a reminder about the Chet Ha'Egel, then we know that it was the women who refused to be part of the, they refused to contribute their jewellery, and that they and they were not part of the Chet Ha'Egel. In which case, in theory, they don't need a kapora for the Chet Ha'Egel like the men need, and therefore there's a svara to say that maybe the men should not, maybe the men should be mechuyev in Parshas Porah, but the women should be potter from Parshas Porah because they were not involved in the Avera, and that's the kapora that we're trying to achieve. But that's what we're trying to remember in the Zechor al Tishkach of Parshas Porah. That's the svara from one point of view. From the other point of view, think about it this way: what is the purpose of us mentioning now about the Porah Adumo? Why are we doing Parshas Porah this week? Because we hope in Mi'atz Hashem that there will still be Mashiach will come. And that we'll still be able to bring V'noi Chalshom in Azvochim and Apsochim even this year. And therefore, we would have to all be, A, we would have to pack up and arrive in Eretz Yisrael, and B, we would have to all be Tohor from Tumas Meis in order to partake of the Korban Pesach. Now, the procedure of being Matar from Tumas Meis is a week-long procedure. It's a seven-day procedure with Hazor of the Porah Adumo on the Shlishi and on the Shvi. So that, and you can either do that at home. Yeah, it didn't have to be done in Yerushalayim. It could be done at home as well. It could be done in your hometown and then you travel, or you can travel to Yerushalayim and do the Hazor of Porah Adumo there. And it's better probably to travel to Yerushalayim because it would be easier to prevent yourself from becoming Tomei on the way. Yeah, in case there was Tumah on the way, it would be better to do it when you get to Yerushalayim. So therefore, we need at least 3 weeks. Yeah, Pesach is going to be on Tesvov of Nisan, 2 weeks into Nisan, and therefore we need a week of Adar for travelling, for packing, for getting, for going, etc. Sorry, we need a week for the Taro, which can either be the last week of Adar or the week just before Pesach. And it says that it took 2 weeks to travel to Yerushalayim. The people who travelled the furthest. That's why in Eretz Yisrael they don't start for Seder Talamot until 2 weeks after Sukkot. That gives everybody a chance to get home before it starts raining. So therefore, it was a 2 week journey for Aliyah L'Regel. Therefore, if I need 2 weeks for Aliyah L'Regel and 1 week for Taro, then I need my Porah Adumo 3 weeks before Pesach at the very minimum. Better would be earlier, but nevertheless, 3 weeks before, and therefore we always do it. We've got 2 weeks into of Nisan plus 1 week into Adar, the week before Parshas HaChodesh, which Parshas HaChodesh will always be just before Rosh Chodesh, we do Parah Adumo to remind us that we have to pack our bags, go to Eretz Yisrael, we have to be Matar ourselves, and we, Mi'ez Hashem, will be able to bring the Korban Pesach to Tahara.
Started the Torahway Northwest London, Monday, Tanis Esther, Yud Gimel Ador, 2nd of March, Rabbi Adam Mather, Shlita of Beis Medrash Elyon, Machatzis HaShekel, Sources, Minhogim, and Halachos. This week's Torah been sponsored, Lilo Nishmas Gabriel Ben Yosef Du, Zikun Yibrocho, whose Yatzad is on Yud Zayin Ador, Lilo Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Du Ben, Rav Shem Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zikun Yibrocho.
Shuskal Kodesh. Today is Tanis Esther. One of the minhagim that we have is Masa Shekel. So it will be a good chance to take stock and see Masa Shekel, the sources, where it comes from, the minhagim we have around it, and any halachas that are pertaining to it. So the original mitzvah we know, we read Parshas Shekalim already 2 weeks ago. We read it again Shabbos Mincha. We're going to read it again on Thursday. We're going to read it again Shabbos morning. So we know what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is Zeitu Kol Al Vela Pekudim. Anyone who goes counted in the census, there's a machlokes in the Gemara and Shkalim is how you translate the words al pekudim, but it's not so negiah for us, so move through it. Maaseh Hashem Masech HaKodesh has to give half a shekel from the shekel HaKodesh, which is double the size of a normal shekel. In terms of the Gemara language, a shekel HaKodesh is a seller. So a seller is a shekel HaKodesh, a normal shekel is half a seller. The Ramban goes into explanations to why they changed the terminology. So his explanation is quite simple, is that every year people were looking for a half shekel coin. That became called the shekel. And since the call came the shekel, then shekel became a half, a shekel coin became called the shekel, and they had to come with another name for the seller. So the seller became, the shekel kodesh became the seller, and the half a shekel became called the shekel. That's how it worked out. So the pasuk tells us how heavy it was. It was a srim gera shekel, so we know how heavy it was. And you had to give it to Mola Hashem. Kol ben srim, anyone above the age of 20 had to give it to Hashem. So this was the mitzvah that we had. This was the mitzvah we were given when we came out of the Yom Suf. The Mitzrayim, when they built, first put up the Mishkan, and it went through all the way till Chorban Bayis Sheni, that we had to give every year as an annual tax towards the upkeep of the Mishkan, and then the Beis HaMikdash. It was given as to money towards the Korbanos. Okay, the Gemara in Shkalim says the two things were given. If it was given to Beder Kabayis, they could do whatever they want with it. If it was given a Shem Machzer Shekel, then they had to use it specifically for the Korbanos. So the Mishnah in Shkalim, Perches, Mishnah Ches, that's easy to remember. The Mishnah there says that today, this minhag of Masa Shekel, this mitzvah of Masa Shekel, only applies b'fnei abayis. Only applies when we have a Mishkan, we have a Beis HaMikdash. The second the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there's no more mitzvah giving Masa Shekel anymore. Why not? So Bartanur explains, because it was given for the Korbanos. There's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. There's no Korbanos. If the reason for the mitzvah has disappeared, then the mitzvah disappears along with it. B'zad Hashem, Shavu Mashiach, Meher B'meinu, will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and it will become mitzvah d'raisa again to give Masa Shekel. But until then, there is no mitzvah. So it's transformed into a minhag ba'alma. So the question is, why are we doing it? Where does this minhag come from? It's not a mitzvah anymore. So this minhag that we have of zech l'masa shekel, where do we find the makoris for it? Where does it come from? So there's two makoris in Chazal that we tend to point to. One is the Gemara Megillah. So the Gemara Megillah, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Amar Rish Lakish Rilekho says that Kadosh Baruch Hu galui v'yadua lifnei Hashem, that Haman would come up and he would give shkolim to try and take Am Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed as he was makdim ashkalim to his shkalim. I think someone did the maths for me the other day, that, and I don't remember how it goes, unfortunately, but the 10,000 talents of kesev, of silver, that Haman gave to Achashverosh to purchase Am Yisrael, and do what he wanted with them, calculates exactly to the value of the Machzer Shekel that Am Yisrael gave the first year they came out of Mitzrayim. So it works out exactly the same. So the interesting thing with the Gemara is, when the Gemara says that shekel saved us, which shekel was it? Was it the shekel they gave that year in Shushan and in Eretz Yisrael they were still giving and they kept going? Or was it no, that the Chazal Rish Lakish meant the original Masa Shekel that we gave, that the Pasuk is referring to when we came out of Mitzrayim, that's the one that saved Am Yisrael. That was exactly the same value as Haman's Shkolim, so they cancel each other out. Galuvi Adua, Hashem knew how much Haman was going to give, so he preempted it all those many thousand years before when we came out to Mitzrayim in order to cancel that out. So the minute the Gemara Megillah doesn't really give us a makor for us doing it, because you can learn the Gemara Megillah that shkolim that saved us was those shkolim when we came out of Mitzrayim, not the annual sort of custom that developed to give it. So where does it come from? It's actually in Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim Perichav Aleph. There the Masechet Sofrim discusses giving Maser Shekel. It says Barishon Ba'ad on the first month of Adar we machiz on Ashkolim. Okay, it could be Bezman Abayis. Nothing going on there that dictates that it's not Bezman Abayis and it's talking about us. Until you get to the end. The end then, the Masechet Sofrim finishes off by saying, but when you give this Maser Shekel, it's also to say it's a koifer. It's also to be makdish it. Ella, it has to be an adov, it has to be a donation. So the question is, what's going on here? We know Maser Shekel, we give it as a koifer nafshoi, that's what it is. If Masechet Sofrim is saying we don't do that, why not? So it must be Masechet Sofrim is discussing after the Churban. After the Churban, you can't give a koifer nafshoi, because if you give the money, if you try and give money to Bedek HaBayis, when there is no Bayis, you've been makdish the money, the Kedusha is Chal, you've got nothing to do with it, so whatever you do with it, you're over on Me'ila. Because this now, you might this to Hashem, and you can't have it. And Taka, this reason is brought in the Goinim. The Goinim quote this Masechet Sofrim, and the Goinim don't like this custom. Rav Amram Gon in Tshuva Ayin Vov, and the Goinim Mizrach Umarav in Tshuva Mem, both say the same thing. This minhag is problematic. Why? Because not everyone is going to know to give it as an adov instead of a koifer. You're going to lead to, it's a derisa of Me'ila. So the Goinim of Amram and Goinim Mizrach Umarav say, don't do this. They are against this custom completely, and they write not to do it. One way around it, obviously, is what we do, which is to say, Zecher l'machzeh shekel. That's always very careful when we give it. Don't say machzeh shekel, because then you have Me'ila issues. Say Zecher l'machzeh, it's just a Zecher ba'alma, that's all it is. And the Mati Yehuda actually says, the Mati Yehuda takes up this minhag, and the Mati Yehuda says, it's very strange this minhag. He says, why? Because the Goinim don't like it. The Rishonim don't mention it. It's a bit of a problem, Mati Huda, because there are two Rishonim which we're going to see that do mention it. But generally speaking, most Rishonim don't mention it. The Tor doesn't mention it. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it. The Radbad doesn't mention it. It says if all of these poskim leave it out completely and don't mention it at all, and between the Modchi and the Ma'aril, which are the only two Rishonim that I could find that mention it, and the Ramah, who is the one that we know that brings it down, there seems to be no mention of this Minag anywhere in those few hundred years spaces between them that mentions it. So it's says the Mati Huda, it's not mentioned anywhere. He calls it Zecher Ba'alma. He says even Koyach Minhag is not sure it has. It's a Zecher Ba'alma, it's a good thing to do, it's a nice thing to do, but not necessarily a Minhag. And if you look at the wording of the Ramah, so the Ramah in Tafresh Sadi Dalet, Saif Aleph, where he brings this, the Loshon of the Ramah starts off with V'yesh Omer. When he discusses Masa Shekel, V'yesh Omer, there are those that say there is such a Zach as giving Zecher Masid HaShekel. Doesn't say you have to give it. It doesn't even say it's a minhag. Yesh Omrim, which is, again, the weakest Lashoinus that you can come up with when you're trying to quote something, is Yesh Omrim. We know even Mechaba uses Yesh Omrim, it's because he doesn't hold that opinion. He just wants to be chol, he wants to give kavod to those who hold it. So normally it's when the Rambam is a Das Yochid, or if there's Kehillahs that are noyeg like that, then the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't want to ignore it. So he'll say Yesh Omrim, but it's, I don't hold of this, just there is such a Zach. So that's Loshon Yesh Omrim. The Ramah starts off with that. So even the Ramah himself, which is what we all base our custom on to do it, isn't really very strong on it. So if the question is, if the Goyim don't like it, and Chazal don't seem to mention it, and the Rishonim don't mention it aside from two, why do we make such a fuss about it? I was in Shul Shabbos Parshas Terumah already, and people ask me questions, how much do I have to give? How does it go? When do I have to give it? Well, if it's a Zecher Ba'alma, nobody mentions, and it's a V'yesh Omrim, and it's not a very strong custom. How come today we've taken hold of it with two hands, and we're machris, and we get really involved in Masa Shekel? The fact that I'm going to speak about it for half an hour, so we're getting quite involved in it. Why? Why are we taking it so important? So I found the Yafel Alev, which is one of the sons of Ruchaim Pelagi, has a perish on the Shulchan Aruch. It's a beautiful perish. It's most of it is halacha, quite detailed pilpul halacha, but a lot of it is also drush. He tries to explain what's going on. So he brings a number of reasons why it's important to do Machzeh Shekel, Zecher Machzeh Shekel. The first one he asks is, why is it called Machatzis HaShekel? Call it Chatzis Shekel. So the word Machatzis is Chetzi in the middle, so there's your half, and Mem and Sof on the other end, Mes. Says Yafal Elev, when you give Machzeh Shekel, why do you give it? It saves you from mothers. This has a Koyach Machzeh Shekel, special Koyach, that person gives it, he's Nitzol Min HaMaves, We know it's doctor, tatzil mimaves. Zechma Shekel also says Yafrev tatzil mimaves. He brings in, that's one. So chetzi in the middle, mem and sof the other end. So chetzi and mace. He brings another one where he says the word mechatzis is mace, beginning and end. Chai, the next two letters if you're working outwards in. So you've got mace, chai, and tzadi. Tzadi is tzedakah. You give tzedakah, you get chayim, and you don't get the mavis. So you can work the other way around as well. And another case he brings, just another example, he says also in the word, you have the other word is, I've lost it now. Disappeared. Is matanois. So the Russian, the word matanois also is mem and sof, beginning and end, mace, with tenu, give in the middle. If you give, nitzol mimaves. So Yafel Lev is quite clearly going with a tzedakah tzil mimaves. And in two cases at least, you can take the word masa shekel, and you can either do chetzi and mace, or you can do mace chai tzadi tzedakah. Either way, masa shekel has this tremendous power to be tzil mimaves. That's his reasoning why we're really makpid on it. The Kaf HaChaim gives a different reason. The Kaf HaChaim says, because the Pasuk says, what does the Pasuk say? Why do we give it? Koifa nafshas eichem. It's a koifa for you. It's an atonement for your soul. Anything you've done wrong, it's an atonement. So if it's an atonement, goes on to hate. Let the heads do it. That's if it's what we want. Kapara is something we all look for. Shuvah and kapara is what we did. If we look at the Megillah story or Hanukkah, any time that we know we have issues, it's to wake us up to do shuvah. So that's the point of this. So either way, why we make a big fuss, you can do the Yafei Lev, you can do the Kaf HaChaim. Either way, you have some good, something to stand on as to why we take it so seriously. But it wasn't, it is just a zeicha. Many killers didn't do it. I was talking, you know, a few weeks ago, I spoke to a few Temoni Rabbonim, and they all told me, Minag of the Yemenites, is they don't do it. They have no concept of Masa Shekel. None of the Rabbonim ever spoke about it, and they never did it. And it says, till today, you go to the Bnei Torah killers in Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak of the Yemenite community, and they still don't do it. They have no concept of it. The Ram doesn't bring it. It's not brought anywhere in their Rabbonim, and they don't do it. The Sefer Yukachna, which was first printed in the 1860s, he says he came from Salonika in northeastern Greece, and he says the Minhag Salonika also says nobody did it. Now Salonika is a bit of a chiddush, as we know anything about Salonika. Salonika was not a small village. Salonika was the city in Europe which produced more achronim than any other city in the world. From when the exiles from Spain went in 1492, right up until the end of the 19th century, more achronim came from the city of Salonika than any others. You have the early ones like the Marashdam, the Lecha Mishnah on the Rambam, the base David, all of these amazing Torah luminaries that came out of this one city in northeastern Greece, century after century after century. And despite all that, they didn't have the custom to do it. And I looked through and I had a number of Sfarim at home from the rabbis of Salonika, and not one of them mentions it, aside from the Yukachnov, to say it's not our custom. So it seems to me that even in a place which was a steeped in Torah, Salonika was something that just wasn't done. He does mention there were some Hasidim who were makpid al atzmam to do it. But generally speaking, it wasn't a custom. So, although today we take it as widely, everyone's getting busy with Masa Shekel, there were kehillahs in Am Yisrael that the Rabbonim were not concerned with it. Either choshes of the Goinim, maybe, they were scared we would come towards Me'ilah, or it's a Zeicha Ba'alma, and therefore we just weren't noeg to do it. Either way, it's not as, you know, as common as today we would have thought. Today everyone is busy with it, all the boys can talk about it, but it seems to be that wasn't necessarily the case in all of Am Yisrael over all of the centuries. So, that's the sort of makoris for it. I want to address four questions. There's four questions you all need to ask when it comes to Masa Shekel. Firstly, we should all know, how much is it? What would I actually have to give? Who do I have to give it to? Who's obligated to give it? And when do we give it? So the four main questions that we need to know in order to address this custom. It's interesting, just add in quickly, that one of the first makorfa, which is the Modchi, which is what the Ramah quotes. So the Mordechai customs of the Yesh Omrim is that to give Maser is to give three coins. We give three coins Masa Shekel, three half coins. So whatever the currency is where you live, you give three coins from that currency, so 350p coins. He's talking about the currency in Austria. I did some research, I couldn't find the currency in Austria that he refers to. The Austrian Wiener, I couldn't find a reference to anywhere. But I'll come back to it because I did find some other things that are quite interesting around it, so we'll come back to that. But we give three coins. So the question is, why do you give three coins? Because it says the word truma three times in the parasha of Shkolim. It says truma three times, so to Mikhail we should give three times. Now, the Afelev also asks a question, so I don't understand this. The Mordechai is Mechadish asked something. Three times? In the Midbar, did they give three half shekels? No, in all of the centuries that we did it in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, did they ever give 3 half shekels? No. So why today are we giving 3 half shekels? It's not mitzvah anymore. It's a zecher ba'alma, and we're being more machmir now than we were when it was actually a mitzvah deraisa. Yeah, so what's going on? So the fellow gives actually a nice answer. He says, because there's 3 reasons why we give masa shekel. There's 3 different reasons we can find for the original mitzvah. The first one, which as we all know, it was to pay for the korbanos. That's the batanura. That's the standard case since the Gemara in Shkali. But he brings 2 others. Another one is, why did they give masa shekel? Why didn't they just count everybody? Just count everybody. Why this process? Why don't we count yidden? Yeah, we want a minion. Different ways how you get to 10, or Shia Samecha, or there's 10 words in Hamotz Lechem Aretz, so you can do it that way if you don't remember the Pasuk. Yeah, we don't count Yidden. Why not? There's gone Ein Hora, we're scared of Magefa and all sorts of things. So this is Yafei Lev, he actually brings it from a Rashi in Shemois. He says, why do we give it? So one reason was, we give it because, for the Korbanos. The second one is it's a protection from Ein Hora and Magefas. Yeah, if you want protection from Ein Hora and pestilence or disease, give Masa Shekel, it helps for that. So one reason for the Korbanos, one reason for that, and the third reason he gives is, again, it's also Rashi, is Kapara for the Egel. So he says, yeah, the reason we give 3 times is because we're not sure what the reason for the mitzvah is. So if we're doing a Zecha, we want to tap into all 3 of these. We want Kapara for the Egel. We want to be protected from Ein Hara and diseases, pestilence, and other things wrong. And with the zecha of the actual giving for the korbanos, so we don't want to forget that we have an obligation to pay for communal korbanos. So that's why we give the 3. The second, he gives another reason why it's so important. Yeah, sorry. He gives another reason why it's so important. He says, because also mechapo mechiras Yosef. So where does this idea come from? It actually comes from a Bereshis Rabba, and it's Gemara Yerushalmi. Gemara Yerushalmi says, Amar Pinchas Amar Levi. Is if you work, they sold Yosef for 20 pieces of silver. It says 20 pieces of silver was 5 seller. So we said a seller and a shekel kodesh is the same thing. So they sold Yosef for 5 shkolim. There were 10 brothers. So each one got half a shekel. The benefit that they got from selling, each one got half a shekel. So to atone for that which they did, we're giving the half a shekel in order to mechapa on what they did. So you have different reasons, lots of variations on it, on how you get it. But if we go back to now the more lamasa for us, what do we do? We got our 4 questions. So we want to know how much do I have to give, who has to give it, who to give it to, and when do we give it. So the first one is how much. So given this is a minhag ba'alma, then you can imagine obviously this goes to town on this. There's multiple different minhagim what you give. So there's 2 different aspects. One is the 3 coins. 3 times it says truma, 3 half coins. The other thing is, however, is in order to get the kapara, if you want the atonement, which is what we're trying to tap into here, you have to give the srimkara hashekel. You have to give the value. It's not enough to give a representation. You have to give the value. The Ramah quotes the Modchi, and he says, Elach is like the minhag is like the Modchi, which is just the 3 coins, full stop. There's another minhag, however, they quote, which is the Ma'aril. The minhag of Ma'aril is, first you give 3 coins, and separately you give a different amount, which is the value of the shekel, of half a shekel. So according to the Ma'aril, you're giving twice. You're giving 3 coins on the one hand, zecher to the 3 times truma, and you're also giving the value. So the Ma'aril is giving 2 separate givings, and he even says that he was given for 2 separate purposes. He says the half shekel that they gave, one was given the half local currency, which was given, that was given to the poor of the local town, it was in their currency, so it was given to them. What did you do with the additional value of the shekel? He says that was sent to support Eretz Yisrael. That was sent off to Eretz Yisrael. That was part of was given to whoever they used to have the shlichim coming around to collect for the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Ma'aril is. So you have 3 and the value. So you have 2 things going on here. The value and you've got 3.
So 3, you just give half of whatever currency.
Half of whatever currency it is.
That's for the 3. And then the other part is you should give the value of half.
Of Masa Shekel. So what is the value in silver? So again, machlokes, how exactly you pinpoint it. General opinion is that it's 9.6 grams of silver. So you're giving how much of it is 9.6 grams of silver. So in modern currency, I looked it up this morning, currently the price of silver is £2.24 a gram. So times it by 9, but don't forget, firstly you have to add on VAT. Yeah, because you can't get it. In America, sales tax, you can't get it for that. That's not its real value for you. Because if you want to purchase it, If you want to go and buy silver, you're not paying 2.24 pounds. Because you have to pay sales tax. There's VAT on silver. So if you want to actually go and purchase it, and we learn that from the Gemara and Shkolim. The Gemara and Shkolim says...
Depends where you buy it.
Fine. No. Yeah. Let's stick with legal sources for now. Yeah. And then again, cash in hand buyers, wherever you get it from. But let's say if you think there's a reputable way of getting it without paying the VAT, then again, you know, go for it. Yeah. Don't pay the VAT. But I'm not an expert in the buying and selling of precious metals. I'm sure there are people here that can fill me in on it. I'm not to begin to it. But again, there are possibilities in America. For example, you'd have to pay the sale tax. And also here, you'd probably have to pay the VAT and to calculate into the cost. Mm-hmm. So you got two things, the coins and the value. The yukach not.
£20.
So work out today about 25. 25 pounds, just under 25 pounds per person who you're giving for. So we'll see who we're giving 25. For. Pardon?
25 is gross or net?
Gross. So that's with the VAT. Yeah. So if you're getting without VAT, if you can find it, then that's great. You can do it the other way. So that's the two different opinions. Now the poskim seem to take sides on where they go. I've not seen anyone who agrees with the Maharil. The Ramos specifically says the Minag is not like the Maharil, and the Chida actually writes though. Says when he was traveling around Europe, he writes in his Sefer Yosef Oimetz. He says that in Germany, they were following the custom of the Maharil. And they were giving three coins, and then a separate, the value of silver. But when he went to Poland, he saw in Poland, they were only giving the three coins. So quite clearly, in Poland, the custom was like the Ramah, to rejecting the Maharil. But in Germany, they were still following the custom of the Maharil in the Chidah's days in the 18th century. So we see these Minhagim were carrying on. The Yukach Na says, I don't understand the three coins. He says, I still don't understand it. Because it doesn't have the value you want it to. Again, if you want to have the kapara, then you need to have the value of the shekel in kesef. So if you're giving separately the second one, then fine. But if you're only giving the three coins, which is what the Mordechai and the Ramah go with, he says, I don't understand. It doesn't achieve anything. So he gives three answers. One, he says, firstly, it's a zecher ba'alma, like the Mati Yehuda. If it's a zecher ba'alma, we don't really care. We're not tapping into anything here. He was pre the Afele Lev, so maybe he didn't see the Afele Lev's plays on the words Masa Shekel and how important it is. But for him, it's just a zecher. If it's just a zecher, just give the three coins. That's it. You don't have to make such a big deal about it. The other answer he gives is, which is why I'm coming back to coinage. The Yukach Na says, and again, for us, it's a concept we're not used to. Coins used to have intrinsic value. In the medieval Europe and in Renaissance Europe, the smallest coin you got was a silver penny, which was between 0.8 and 1.5 grams of pure silver. That was the penny of the day. Then you had larger currencies that went up. So if you are looking, says the Yukach Na, if you're working out that the coins they were using had value, and if you look into the words of the Ramah and the words of the Gro and others, they weren't using the pennies. They were giving them a be'er gadoila, even a be'er katana, but you couldn't get half of a penny. It didn't exist. So if you want a half a coin, which is what they were giving, which specifically was a half, there are opinions that the Kaf HaChaim, it has to say the word half on it. If it doesn't, you're not Yotzer. Yeah, the Michas Elazar doesn't like that. He says, no, as long as it's the value of half, you're fine. You know, the fact that it doesn't have a 1 over a 2 on it doesn't make a difference. But Kavachayim is makpid, if you can, to find such a coin. But the Yukach Na says, if you go back to their days, the coins they were using were worth this much. So as my research came in. So there were two major silver coins in usage, late medieval, early Renaissance period, which is what we're talking about. In Western Europe, so in France, England, they were using the penny, and they had what was called a mark. A mark, so in England it was just an accounting procedure. So that's why it's called a mark, because it didn't exist. It was a mark you made in a ledger when you got to that many pennies. It didn't exist. But in Scotland they had a mark coin. A mark coin was worth 160 pennies. So if you're working out the average penny is between 0.8 and 1.5, so let's say it's 1. So that's worth 160 grams of silver is your mark. So half a mark is 80 grams of silver. So if you're giving three half marks, you're way over your machzor shekel in terms of value. The other coin that I managed to find is in the Austrian side. So the Ramon talks about the Austrian vina. I couldn't find the vina, but they had what was called a gilder or a florin, which was a gilder or florin, which was slightly less. Gilder or florin was worth about between 33 and 40 grams of silver. So again, if you're giving half that currency, again, you're way over your 9.6 grams. So it says the Yukach Na, the reason they were giving three coins is because it was anyway over the amount. Not because you didn't have to give the amount, you could get away with just giving 350p coins. The reason they were happy with it, because in their days it was, it held that value. It doesn't hold that value anymore. So today you can't use the 3-coin thing, you have to go with the value. But that's where it came from. So he says today, how come with the people who, again, Salonika didn't do it, but the people that did do it, why weren't they makpid and they just gave 3 coins? Because again, Matihuda Zecha Ba'alma. But in the times of the Ramor, it made sense to say 3 coins because it was more than the value. The other answer he gives, which is a nice one, which is, this is not the only money we give. He says in his town, in his time, in 19th century Salonika, there were a lot of poor people. And the people who were giving Matanas Levyonim were giving way above the minimum they had to give. So it says all this money that they were giving out on Purim, the first, however you want to work it out, the first present to the one thing, to two Aniyim, that was one amount. What about all the Tosefta they used to give? They used to give a lot more than that. It says that was definitely more than the value of Masa Sheker. So they gave the 3 coins as a zecher for the 3 times Truma. Where's the value of the money? What do you mean? We gave away a lot of money on Purim. Much more than the value of 9.6 grams of silver and much more than we are required to under the Matan Sevi Union. So he gives 3 answers as to why we do 3.
We do the day before Purim, no?
Yeah, so the question, we'll get to when.
I'm saying that doesn't work with when you Matan Sevi Union.
So everyone agrees that even though there is an optimal time to give it, I'm conscious of time, which we will discuss in a moment, everybody agrees if you miss it, you can give it whenever you want. If you miss Adar, if you miss whenever you want to give it, you give it Nisan, you miss Nisan, you can give it whenever throughout the year you want, you can give it whenever you want. There's an optimal time to give, but you can give whenever you want. So we'll come to that. Yeah, again, I'm conscious of time, so I'm gonna try and move quickly for the rest of this. So the question is, there are questions. Firstly, so how much we have to give, we've covered. Okay, so again, each person what they want to do. The Bi'alocha says, look, it's a Zecher Ba'alma. He agrees with Mati Huda. If you can afford it, Gesundheit, give £25. Great. If you can't, give you 50p. Each person honest with themselves, know what you can and can't afford. Don't get into financial hardship just to do a Zecher. But if you can, then why not? It's going to a good cause anyway. So that brings us to who do you give it to? So who do you give it to? So again, different opinions. The Mordechai and the Ma'aril, it's very clear, they gave it to Tzedakah, they gave it to Aniyim. Whether it was local Aniyim or Eretz Yisrael Aniyim, they gave it to Aniyim. Rav Adi Yosef, that goes with the same. Other opinion is the Maaseh Ben Yomin, which is again Avraham quotes, which you can give it to whatever you want. As long as it's a good cause, you can give it to it. Do you want to give it to a shul? It originally was given to Beda Kabai, so give it to the shul. Here, again, Avraham brings the Minhag, they used to pay the chazan with it. They used to collect it every year, and whatever it was, that was the chazan salary for the year. So anything, as long as it's a good cause, you can give it to whatever you want. Like I said, Sama Makpid to Aniyim. Maaseh Ben Yom, again, Avraham says, you give it to whoever you want. The Ruach HaChaim, the Chaim Pelagi, and the FLLF says that their custom in Izmir was they used to, on the 1st of Adar, they used to send out Shlichim from Beis Din. They used to go around the town, they used to collect the half shekels, and they used to give it out to poor Torah scholars in the town. And the more modern poskim, if you look at the Roshama Zalman and others, say that's the best thing today. The minhag is that we give it to poor Torah scholars. Why? So the Yafelev quotes with the Gemara and Ksuba. The Gemara and Ksuba says a person who is Toymech Torah, it's as if he brings a korban. And if the original Masa Shekel was to pay for the korbanos, our modern equivalent is to support Torah scholars. So the basis of the Gemara and Ksuba is that's the ikka you should give. So it seems to be the Rav, and even Rav Adi who says you can give it to poor people, poor Torah scholars top of the list. So when you're giving it out, poor Torah scholars seems to be top of the list. General Aniyim, if there's no needy Torah scholar to give it to. And if not, then you can give it to any good cause you want, as long as it's something that will give you a charity receipt. I assume that would be the criteria of what you would define as a good cause. So again, conscious of time, so the last 2 questions. So when do we give it? So very soon, when do we give it? I've just quoted the Afele Lev, who says, that in his town, in Izmir, they used to give it Rosh Chodesh Adar. They used to send out, like in the Gemara already, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Machrizin, or the Maseches Sofrim says, before, Pasha Zohar, so the Shabbos before, they were already Machrizim on the Shkolos. You used to do Pasha Zohar. So one is Rosh Chodesh, Pasha Zohar. The general custom is to give it on Tanis Esther, which is today. The main one seems to be is to give it either before Mincha or after Mincha. So the Mekubolim, the Rashash, the Kafachayim, the Chidah, so the person should give it before Mincha. Why Dafka should give it on the Tanis? Why? Because we know the Chidah writes in the Avodas Hashem that any person who does a Tanis, if he just fasts, but there's no Kapara, there's no Tshuva, there's no nothing going on, then it was a waste of time. He's talking about individual fast, but the same would apply to Tanis Tibur. Why are we doing this, Tanis Tanesim? What for? Because we know we have Averis, we need to get Kapara. Tanis Tanesim and Segufim are our way that we get Kapara. So it's good to give it on that day, because giving the money increases your schus. Yeah, we say slichas. We have the, if you had svardim this morning, tachlin for svardim on Tanis Esther takes for ages, takes a long time. So we do all these things. We're in the mode. So give it on the Tanis. That's the sort of the main minhag. The Magen Avraham says he used to give it the next morning. He used to give it before Megillah the next morning. Again, if there's a machlokes in the Gemara Megillah, but he seems to be going with what's the Ikka Megillah reading, the night or the day? So it seems to the day is the Ikka. Even though the Gemara says we read it at night, repeat in the day, which implies the night is more important, the Gemara there, Megillah, goes into all of this. So the Magen Avraham says, look, we want to give it before the Megillah because we want to preempt Hamah. So if we give it before the Megillah, the main Megillah reading is the morning, so give it in the morning. But again, you can also do it the night, you've also preempted Haman. But again, the general custom that I've seen is to give it on Tanis Esther before Mincha, after Mincha. Again, if you want to be choishes to the Kubbalim, you make sure you give it before Shkia. So you've given it on the proper Tanis itself, so you're tapping into this atonement, this Kapara that's going on, so you can increase your Shkias on this day. So that's how much you have to give, when you have to give it, who has to give it. So the Pasuk says, Ben Esrim Shana V'mala, men above the age of 20. That's full stop. There's nothing else in the Pasuk. So it's actually Machloikas Rishonim. Tosfos and others say that this Ben Asim Shana applies also today. Ben Asim Shana V'mala, that's the mitzvah. And our minhag built on that, that's what we're talking about. However, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that Roiv Rishonim don't agree with that. Roiv Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Ramban and Tosfos Yom Tov, they explain it differently. They say, no, this 20 years up, that was the one-off when we came out of Mitzrayim. But every year after that, we go back to the default, which is when you mechoyev in mitzvahs, from Yud Gimel Shana, from Bar Mitzvah. So they hold that this 20 years old was a one-off that they gave in the Midbar when they came out of Mitzrayim. And every subsequent year, though, it went back to the default of 13 years. So what is it? Is it men 20 or men 13? The Mishnah Berurah brings both and doesn't decide between them. Most other poskim say it's good to be machmir. Again, depends how much you're given, you can afford it. Depends on what your financial situation is. Remember, it's a zecher ba'alma, but if you can afford it, then you know, go down, give to 13. You know, the Be'er Lacha says, as we said, everything you give, harizem shubach, the more you give, the better it is. So you can go for it to give for. The Magen Avraham, but it's quite clearly the Pos is ish, the Pos is a man. So the Gemara in Shkalim says a man to exclude noshim ketonim, excludes women and children. However, the Magen Avraham says, women and children also should give Maaser HaShekel. The Mishnah in Shkolim says, if a woman comes to give, we take it. We don't say no. She can give if she wants to, but she's not Machuyev. So why are the women given? The Aruch HaShulchan says they're potter. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't like it. The Aruch HaShulchan says, women and children don't give Maaser HaShekel. They have no Machuyev. The Magen Avraham says, no, we give for women and children as well. But if we go, so why? They're not Machuyev. The Torah doesn't include them. But if we go back to what the Yafet Elev says, how important it is, women also want to be Tatzel Mimaves. Women also want Kapara. Yeah, so it makes sense that they would also want to get involved, and again, nothing wrong with them giving it at all. Again, each family in their financial situation, if it's going to cause financial hardship to give for your wife and your children under 13, over 13, girls, there's even a custom to give, pregnant ladies to give for the fetus, each according to what they can afford. But the ikka is, you go with Aruch HaShulchan, men over the age of 13, if you can afford to give more, amazing, yeah, it's going to good causes, so it's definitely a person should give it. Yeah, so we've covered off all the points we wanted to say. So we know the sources, we know when we have to give it, we know how much we have to give, who we give it to, and who is mechuyev to do it. Shkoyah. 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 Very nice. Thank you.